We welcome you to this service as we celebrate our Memorial Day weekend, and truly, we are blessed to be Americans. Amen. There wouldn't be so many people at our borders trying to get in if they didn't realize this is a better place than many, many places in the world. This time we need to be praying for our nation. A lot of areas, politics, the coronavirus, financially, a lot of things we need to be praying about. And I pray that every believer will spend some time praying for our nation. You know, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek the Lord, God promises to hear from heaven and heal their land. Folks, we call on you as believers to pray for our nation. Let me say also, I appreciate each week the special music, the Wes doing the taping, Brenda playing, Leonard leading the service, all the people that come and help to make what you hear a reality. Couldn't do it without them, and we appreciate them. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you today, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. What a Savior he is. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior he is. We don't deserve him. We didn't choose him, but first he chose us. And Father, we thank you that we were born and live here in America and for all the blessings we have as Americans. And Father, I pray for revival. Father, I pray for a move of God in this nation that will turn people back to you. We will fall in love with Jesus in a way that we've not done in the last 200 years. Lord, we read about some great awakenings. Our hearts hunger and say, do it again, do it again, do it again, Lord. Now, as we study your word today, Father, we pray that as we sing, as we pray, as we preach, Jesus Christ will be lifted up, glorified. Our lives will be drawn closer to you, to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, good morning, everyone. Let's all sing a song together that certainly for Memorial Day, I think it's a great song to do. It's "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory," and as we get, everybody knows this chorus. As a matter of fact, most of you know the words of a couple of the verses. So sing along with me this morning as we do "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory."
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosened the fate lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. is shifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God. Was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As the death to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Our God is marching.
Good morning. Welcome to Sunday, May the 24th, as we celebrate today and acknowledge Memorial Day. Our service today will have a theme of Memorial Day, and so we want to continue on. But before I do that, let me bring you up to date with just a few announcements. We are going to continue on with our two services that we're doing. We will continue on with our webcast each week until such time as we can come back together inside our church and be all together again. And then we will also have our parking lot service at 10 as we continue on with that. I was very pleased last Sunday as to see the participation with that parking lot service. It was wonderful, and it's good to see you all again. So, also want to ask that we continue to pray as we will get into our prayer list in a little bit, but I also want to thank you all on behalf of the Ruth Whitley family for your support and your love and your care. I realize you couldn't visit as you would like to at the funeral home, but our funeral was held and a graveside rites only, and we'll do a celebration of life for her later on. But thank you for your cards. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the flowers. Thank you for all that you've done for the family. We certainly appreciate your love. As we now continue on with, I want to now recognize Memorial Day. I want to recognize our veterans who have given the ultimate sacrifice, some, and then the rest who have passed away with honors and serving our country. I'm going to list these men to you and also their division. Ernest R. Burris, United States Army. Hugh W. Balcom, in World War II, Alan Davis, United States Marine. Floyd L. Udy, United States Army. Harvey Lee Udy, United States Army. Artis Hatley, United States Navy. Charlie H. McClester, United States Army. Clayton Ted Morgan, United States Army. Jimmy Morton, United States Army. Gurney O. Smith, United States Navy. Paul L. Thompson, United States Army. John C. Chuck Walker, United States Navy. Lloyd A. Whitley, United States Army. And Houston A. Yao, United States Army. We do thank these men and we honor them today and their families for their sacrifice and for their gifts to our country. Now, I'm going to go into some prayer requests for us today. Let's continue to remember Cynthia Yao. She is at home and after surgery and doing better. But I talked to Betty this morning and she is doing better. So let's keep Cynthia, though, in our prayers. Grant Hartzell has a neighbor, and Joe and Carolyn Bishop and family that he has to pray. Let's continue to pray for Angie's mom, Janice Good. And she is still in the hospital and being observed. And we need to continue to pray for her and pray for Angie as well. Let's pray for our church. Continue on in our services and as we go into our two services and all those who are working to make it work for us. We thank God for his grace. And let's continue to pray for our church. Pray for our pastor. I want to encourage you to read the pastor's newsletter. He brings it out each week. And I'll tell you right now, it's thought-provoking. It's also will make you comfortable and comfort you as you read it. So you continue to read that and pass it on to somebody too. It's a good thing to do that. Let's now go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for a time, Lord, when we can stop and acknowledge and thank the men who have given their lives and service to our country. And Lord, as they are not with us today, Lord, we honor them and we honor their service. And now, Lord, we pray for each and every family who are in our church, and we continue to pray as the virus is still with us, while not with us directly in our church. The virus is still something we have to continue to watch after. But Lord, you're in control. That much we know for sure. And we know, Lord, that you're bigger than any problem that we have. But now, Lord, we pray a special prayer now for Cynthia Yao. As she's convalescing from her surgery, we pray for her. We pray for the Bishop family. And we also lift up Janice Good to you, Lord. We continue to pray for her. And Lord, we know that she's fighting a battle, and we pray for her and the family. Now, Lord, we turn our attention to our service today. We pray a prayer for each one who have a part today. We pray for Brenda as she's here and doing the music for us, as she's so done for us so many, many years. We thank you for her service. Thank you for Wes. We pray for him as he's up top there working the sound for us. Our pastor, Lord, as he will be with us today, we pray a special blessing upon him. Then, Lord, all those, Lord, as we pray that are hurting today, we can't name them all, Lord, but we know that you are aware. And we also pray now, Lord, that if it be your will, that you will bring this thing to conclusion that we've been fighting for so many weeks. And now, Lord, again, that we ask to press in upon what we do today and then bless those. And we ask, Lord, that we lift it up to you. And in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning I want to sing a song for you, and I'm going to ask again, the quartet will back me up on this one, a song that truly, truly makes a statement that's so true. And the song says, "Oh, what a Savior, and I thank God for him." I hope you enjoy, and it's a blessing to someone.
Once I was strange. faces dark valley. No hope within could I see. Then they search through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hands will lead me safely on. Then I'll join the
sometimes you read or you hear somebody make a comment like this: you just can't believe the Bible, it's so full of contradictions. Well, the problem is when somebody says that, it means they really haven't studied or read the Bible or don't understand what it's saying, that they're ignorant in some area. Now, today, I want us to look at one of those contradictions. And I look at them because I think it will teach us something that will be helpful for us, even in the day and hour in which we now live. Galatians chapter 6, and we're beginning reading at verse 1. The book of Galatians, Paul's letter, and we'll begin in chapter 6 at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Did you catch the apparent contradiction? In verse 2, Paul says, bear one another's burdens. And in verse 5, he says, bear your own burden. Okay, Paul, which is it? That unbeliever, that skeptic is going to say, poor old Paul, they beat him so many times he was getting dementia. He said something, couldn't remember what he said two minutes later. Is that what it really means? Is that what it really says, that Paul's contradicting himself? It seems that way until you do some studying. Actually, there are two separate Greek words for burden. Now, the King James translates both of them burden, but it's two separate words having two separate meanings. In verse 5, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. The word there is talking about you take care of your own personal responsibilities. For example, since this is Memorial Weekend, those guys that joined the Army or the Marines or were drafted, they were issued a gun, knife, a canteen, and a big old backpack. And all the stuff to go in that backpack. And whenever the sergeant said, men, fall out in the morning at daybreak. Full packs. We're going to do a 20-mile hike. They knew that every man had to fill up his pack with all the required stuff. And everybody had to carry his own pack. They could not just say, well, I'll let my buddy over here carry my pack and I'll be a lot easier. Every military man had to carry his own pack. That's the picture of that word. How does that apply to us? We all have our own responsibilities. If you're a dad, you have responsibilities as a dad. If you're a mom, you have responsibilities as a mom. If you have if you're a worker in some business, you have responsibilities to those that are over you to do the job that you're given to do. If you're a student, you have responsibilities as a student. If there were works in the kingdom of God, maybe you sing in the choir or play an instrument or teach Sunday school. Maybe you're an usher or something else. Whatever it is, that's your personal responsibility. You're to do it. So when he says, bear your own burdens, he's saying, listen, folks, don't be a slacker. Don't be a goof off. Don't be a loafer. Don't let somebody else do your work for you. Be responsible. I could probably run this sermon on for an extra hour and a half just telling stories. Two categories. One of people who tried to milk the church to keep them up because they didn't want to work. Over and over and over again. Now we have the professional scammers. And the phone rings and they say, well, have we got a deal for you? But for years, people to show up at the door of the church. We're out of work. We need this. We need that. And maybe you help them. And then you find out the church down the street helped them last week. And the church on up the road helped them the week before that. And somebody else helped them the week before that. And these folks don't want to work. I remember being at sitting in my office, and this family came in and said, "Oh, we got to have help. We got to have help bad. We can't find a job anywhere." Well, when they told me where they live, I knew that they drove right between two businesses, one on each side of the road, with big old signs, "Now hiring." They didn't want to work. They just wanted to be deadbeats. Paul says, listen, if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to be a child of God, if you're going to set a good witness, bear the responsibilities that are yours. Don't let people down. It hurts me to think about it, but I can remember back over all of these years of ministry of various staff members that we've hired do music, work with youth, clean the church, good paying jobs, and how many times we were let down. Person didn't show. I'm thinking about, you know, as I was doing these notes, I was thinking about a young man that we called to work with youth and help with the music some. And he came from a school that was very highly recommended. I'd never seen a bad graduate from that school. And I thought, boy, are we fortunate to get him. Well, he showed up two or three Sundays, and then one Sunday he didn't show. Pre-cell phone days, we called his house, didn't get an answer. Later in the week when he showed up, said, "Well, we just decided we need to go see our parents this weekend." Well, he worked two or three more weeks and then didn't show. And two or three more weeks and then didn't show. Never called anybody and told him he wasn't coming. Found out that one week he was at home, drove about maybe 75 yards, realized he had a flat tire, parked his car in the business that was closed. But he didn't go home and get in his wife's car and come on and do his responsibility. He just didn't show. "Well, I had a flat tire. I couldn't get there. Give me a break." We had to pray him away. But anyway, that's another story. We are witnesses as believers in Jesus Christ to the people that we touch. And if they see Christians being the best husbands and fathers and mothers and wives and workers, if they see young people being the best students in the class, then we give a positive witness. I've known a number of men mostly that said, "The Lord called me to ministry, but I would never have hired them. I would never have recommended them because they were not responsible." Folks, Paul is saying, listen, folks, be responsible for that for which you're responsible and do it. That's the meaning of bear your own burdens. Carry your own pack and be a good witness for Jesus. Now in verse 2, when he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens," he uses a different Greek word. I think this illustration will help you understand it. If you were driving down the road this afternoon and you looked over in somebody's yard and there was someone laying in the yard with a great big old limb that had hit them and knocked them down and is pinning them to the ground, if you have any compassion at all, what are you going to do? You're going to stop and go over there and try to lift that limb off of them. If you can't get it off by yourself, you're going to call 911 or somebody else to come and help get that limb off of that person that's pinned down. They're bearing too much and can't carry it all. Or to use that military illustration that we were talking about, every soldier bearing his own pack. I know that from time to time a soldier would get injured, maybe get sick, have the flu or something, get shot, and one of his buddies would pick up the injured soldier's pack and carry it for him so that that injured man could keep going, not get left behind. That's the picture here. It means to look at other people, see their need, see that they're under a burden that they cannot carry by themselves, and help them out. Bear ye one another's burdens. I've never participated in AA, but from what I read, that when someone joins AA, they're assigned a buddy, a more experienced person that's been sober for a while. And when that new person in AA is at the point of just breaking down and taking another drink, if they call their buddy, the buddy comes and sits down with them, talks with them, counsels with them, encourages them to keep them from falling off the wagon again. You see, that new person had a burden he couldn't carry, and his buddy comes and helps him carry that burden. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Sometimes we have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are dealing with sin, and we as believers who are stronger, more spiritually mature, can help them by going and counseling with them, encouraging them, praying with them. They're bearing a burden they can't handle on their own, and we help them. Sometimes you see parents that are dealing with children, and the children are driving them up the wall. They don't have any answers. A more experienced or wiser parent can go and share. Sometimes it's just the opposite. Children dealing with parents, or especially older parents. And how encouraging it is when somebody comes and prays with us, encourages us, offers us a sip, give us a few minutes break or whatever. We help bear one another's burdens. Sometimes it's dealing with a spouse. I'm remembering a situation where a lady had no clue what her husband was doing. And right out of the blue, she found out he was running around on her. He was cheating on her. And she was at the point of taking her own life. And one of her fellow church members went and got her. They went to the church, got out on the knees at the altar. And the one that was strong at that point prayed for the one that was hurting, and prayed with the one that was hurting until the pain was lessened and they could go on. How tragic if a life had ended prematurely. How blessed she was to have a friend who would help her to bear that burden. Right now, we're going through people lost their jobs. People that have had sicknesses, bad doctor's report. People dealing with depression. A lot of folks dealing with depression. A lot of folks have questions about the Bible. Verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." You know, the more we know of the Bible, the better we're able to answer questions. We're able to help our brothers and sisters in the Lord that have questions, that are struggling spiritually. There's a whole realm of need and people trying to bear burdens that's weighing them down. how fortunate they are when they have a Christian brother or sister that can come and help pick that log up off of them, help them carry their burden, carry their pack. There's instruction for us there in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God's saying to us, listen, keep your eyes and ears open. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And if you'll do that from time to time, He will open doors of opportunity for you to minister. You may just hear a word. Did you know so-and-so just got a bad doctor's report? Or did you know so-and-so lost their job? Or did you know so-and-so having marital difficulties? Sometimes if you'll be led by the Spirit, you can just look in people's eyes and see their hurt, see their pain. Sometimes you'll see some lady walk into church. She's wearing sunglasses and got on heavy makeup, and when you really look, you'll realize that her husband beat her up. All kinds of situations. And Paul is saying, listen, keep your eyes and your ears spiritually open so that you can do good to those who are bearing a burden they cannot carry alone. And especially if they're a part of your church family. Especially. And then in verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's good advice. Keep it up. Don't quit. I think it was easy maybe 6 weeks ago when the coronavirus began to be concerned about our family and our friends and our church members and make a call, but as time has drug on and we're getting tired and weary and maybe we're missing some phone calls we should have made or sending some notes that we should have sent. Paul's saying, or the Holy Spirit's saying through Paul, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For there's going to be a harvest. God notices. God notices. Those farmers or those guys with the garden. Well, I say guys, could be a lady with a big garden. They're out there early in the morning, sometimes all day long, late at night. If there are beans and stuff to be planted, they got to get it done when the ground is ripe and ready. If they're ready to be picked, you got to do it when you can. I tease my brother that sometimes I think he's holding an umbrella with one hand and picking beans with another. We don't grow weary. We just keep at it. You see, Paul wasn't senile. He was not contradicting himself. He was saying, faithfully handle what you need to handle for yourself and then help others who are struggling with more than they can handle by themselves. He says that makes you a blessing to others and a good Christian witness. And it also brings a reward from our Heavenly Father. I encourage you, be faithful in what you're called to do. Be sensitive to where God can use you to help others. And if you're at a place in your life where you need help, find a godly Christian brother or sister and let them help you. What's the little chorus that goes? We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. Yes, as believers in Jesus Christ, our love for Jesus, our love for one another, draws us into a family, the family of God. If you're not a part of God's family, we invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Call us and let us know. If you don't know how to get in touch with us, call a godly preacher in your area or a godly Christian. We'd love to talk to you about receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be faithful, be helpful, and watch God bless you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that Paul wasn't contradicting himself. He wasn't old and senile. But he was just instructing us how to live as godly Christian believers and be a testimony to our world. Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters that I know who follow these examples, both in their own life and in their helpfulness to others. And Father, thank you for the rewards that are ours in this world and in the world to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.